Well, there's a difference between preaching and teaching, but preaching does teach, no doubt about it. But I don't know that I'm going to get on my soapbox here. No. I remember a guy that led me to the Lord a number of years ago out of Aurora there, and he had a reputation of being on a soapbox. And I didn't really know what that was all about until later on in the years that I began to grow in the Lord, until I began to witness to people, and I could understand. Because people say, get off your soapbox. And when I got saved there in my hometown, everybody knew me from the age of 14 or 15, whatever it was, till the time I went in the military. And they just couldn't figure it out. And you'd think that I had pimples and bad breath or something because they were wanting to hash me over the coals. So they said, get off your soapbox. And even, you know, people that aren't serving the Lord, or they're, if they aren't saved, they're not consecrated to the Lord, they're not going to understand, are they? They're really not. Just like here a couple weeks ago, I mentioned this in Bible study here the other day, I come across four guys in weathercraft, and Brother Glenn knows Tom O'Brien, and maybe even somebody else here, I don't know. But nevertheless, I ran across these guys and gave this one guy a track named Justin's who it was. And I tried to get a hold of him, and I couldn't read his handwriting there, because he wrote down his number and his name there, and I thought it was Jason. So I called up this person, and the woman answered, which is probably his wife, at least hope so. And she said, no, he's not here, or there's no one by that name here. And I got to look at my notes, and it was Justin. So I gave him a call here the other day. I think it was Friday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, I'll go out to eat breakfast with you. I thought, my, this is great. We'll be able to get a chance to talk to him, because he offered to give me a hand as I was putting air in my tire because I hobbled over there with one hand on the car and reached over and grabbed the hose. And that gave me an opportunity to witness to all four of them, as I said in Bible study the other day. But anyway, what I want to do is go into a message which is the closest thing to God's heart. And I know I'm not going to be able to get through all this, but we'll do what we can to look at some things. But I want to read a couple of quotes here. Before we go on, let's go, pause in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing to be upon our listening ears as well as my lips of clay, okay? Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to be able to have the opportunity to approach your throne of grace and mercy. We might be able to know what your word has for us here this afternoon. And we know that I'm not coming to you with enticing words or bringing this message with enticing words, but out of a common man. And this message is not anything that we don't know, but we know that you do customize your message for us at the right time. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll be able to use this message to be able to spark a new desire in our hearts. And we ask all this to be for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But anyway, I'll finish my story here about this guy named Justin. I gave him a call at 9 o'clock, which is supposed to go out and eat breakfast. And his wife said, oh, and I just had a sneaky suspicion. You know, the devil put anything in your way or their way to get them saved or to keep them being saved, I mean. And so she said, no, he had to go to work today. And it didn't surprise me any. You've been around people that you've tried to reach and they make excuses. Well, they make excuses. They make them every day, don't they? Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about that. But I'm not going to get into that message here today. But let's go in here about, if I don't, who will? I'm going to just read a few things out of this clipping that I've got. I'm a Christian. If I don't tell the unsaved how to keep from spending eternity in hell, who will? And if I don't tell them that sin is wicked and destroys our lives and the lives of those around us, who will? And if I don't tell them what God's Word says about sin, who will? If I don't tell them about abortion is against God's commandments, who will? And if I don't tell them about the homosexuality as a chosen sin style, not a lifestyle, but a sin style that angers God, who will? If I don't tell them that God's way is right and all the other ways are wrong, who will? If I don't tell them that God planned for man and a woman to be equally yoked and bring together in matrimony, and both should be faithful to each other till death, who will? That's a big involvement. Today, they'd rather live than they would to live with each other than to get married. If I don't tell them that God has preserved His Word and the way, and the King James says it, so who will? And that's a big one too. And if I don't tell them that everything that names itself Christian is of God, who will? In other words, there's a lot of people out there that claim to know Christ. And if I don't tell them that there is a real devil who does want them to do what God wants them to do, who will? That is, if I don't tell them. And a couple more here. And if I don't tell them that it is the same devil who tempts, confuses, and deceives them so that they won't know God's way or a way to obey it, who will? If I cannot show the world that there is a proper reward, God desires lifestyle, who will? And if the unsaved world cannot see that I am different from them, who will show them that there is a difference between those bound for heaven and those bound for hell? Who will?
No.
I thought that was good. It was worth reading here today anyway. And like I said, this message is something that we all need, and I need it, and if I need it, I know you need it, right?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and got the wrong paper here. Let's turn to, Proverbs, the 20th chapter, or 19th chapter, excuse me, at verse 22. Very fitting verse. I've had this in my memory banks for a long time. The desire, Proverbs 19, 20 and 22, or 22 and 23. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. There's plenty of liars out there today. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. That is a big involvement, isn't it? They shall not be visited with evil. That's kept me a straight and narrow path for a long time. He will keep us from being visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. In other words, slothfulness, a big issue here, the message I'm going to bring. And, you know, as the old saying has it, it's not so much taught as it is caught. Right? Mm-hmm. And many times, the old boy that led me to the Lord, he used to get up on his soapbox. It didn't matter who it was. He would tell them about the Lord, and he was known for his soapbox preaching. And wouldn't that be a good way to go out of this world? He's dead now. But wouldn't that be a good way to go? Is that man was a soapbox preacher. He'd get out on the streets. It wouldn't matter whether it was in a restaurant. It didn't matter where it was at. But it got me to get on the right road to be able to speak to people. So I want to go into a few things here that hinder us from the greatest joy that pleases God. And this is one thing that we think of David, how he was a man that was after God's own heart. But this is one thing that we all can aspire to do, and that is to reach others for the Lord. In all candor, we have not all arrived yet, have we? There's not anything in here that you cannot learn and I cannot learn from God's message. By the way, Pastor, I think Kyle said that was one of the greatest messages he's heard. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
Really is. Too bad no more people don't come in here and hear the same message, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so some things are out of our control, like people. You get up to a cash register and you speak to people. Well, sometimes you can get by with it. I do. I give them a track, and if I can talk to them, I'll talk to them right there, because they're a captive audience. They don't go anywhere. But yet there's people behind me, then I kind of just give them a track, and maybe I can get by with a slip a little bit of here and there into them, or to their ears. But you got to be careful about the time element of being able to talk to people. So inappropriate place, like, I remember going down to take this guy down to Bible college down to Fort Worth, Texas, there in Arlington, and we went into a restaurant. This pastor from Grand Island, Nebraska, and I think it was anyway, and I gave this guy a track, this waitress, I guess it was a woman, and spoke to her, and boy, you think that I would have done a nasty, nasty to this woman because he reprimanded me. And he was supposed to have been a potential Bible college student. Can you imagine that? He said, well, how come you embarrassed that woman? Well, it's better to be embarrassed here than it is to be embarrassed up there, right? And so the Lord wants us to be able to take the time and be the appropriate place. Well, he didn't think that was appropriate place, but I did. It reminds me of a guy that went to a restaurant. And I know I'm chasing a few rabbits here, but it brings across the point. He come up and sat down, and this waitress come over to speak to him and ask for his order. So he ordered it, and she came over, and he ordered some peas, and he ordered this, and that, and the other. Well, peas are round, right? And they will roll off the plate, right? And so she put it on his table there, and the peas went all over the table. And he got, matter of fact, they went over on his pants, I believe it was, and he could have got mad and uptight and said, you're not getting my tip, but he didn't. He witnessed to her and found out that that woman was going through a divorce and had a terrible, terrible lifestyle, and he led her to the Lord afterwards. You know, we got to know where the Holy Spirit would have us to speak and when not to. So my first point is the fear of men. The fear of man bringeth on a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. And fear is the biggest factor. And every one of us have the same problem, don't we? It's just not a few select, because you say to yourself, well, listen, doctor, hear what I got to say. Do you witness to your doctor? You say, oh, he's way out there. He's got much learning and all this. Well, just like Felix told Paul, much learning has made thee mad, right? And we know that they have a soul just like we do, or even Muslims. We think to ourselves, these Muslims, they're not going to hear what I got to say. Oh, they will. I spoke to a guy the other day in an apartment, a so-called friend of mine, and very open. He didn't look down once. He was focused on what I had to say. And he was from Iraq, I believe it was. Can't think of what religious sect he's from, but nevertheless, this guy that I know said he was a Christian. Well, he wasn't a Christian. A lot of people say that they are Christians. And all along, just like the message here this morning, you got to have works with your faith. If you don't see it, there's something wrong. And the average person, they don't know diddly squat about who's a Christian and who's not. They think everybody is, including their family, and they're dying going to hell. So we know that fear will bring on a real and damaging thing, and it's real. But just like the guy that operated on my neck, I was not going to have him operate on my neck until I prayed for that man right there. And he listened, and he thanked me, and he even asked for advice a time or two. And he said I had others come in and tell me, or help me out on my neck, because he'd never operated on one that was so severe as mine. And I was grateful. Grateful that he listened to me. Grateful that he aspired to tell me that he was grateful that I prayed for him. We cannot curl under the table and say they're not going to listen, because they will listen. And we all need this here today to get us motivated. And some people say, well, it's too hot. And I'm speaking to myself when I say this. It's too hot. It's too cold. Yes, I can't walk on that snow very good, or I might fall and crack my head on the ice because of my inability. But you know what? If there's somebody out there that wants me to go talk to them, I'll get out there. Wouldn't you? Just like this guy that walked in here today that needed some help. Who knows? Maybe he'll take that track and maybe he'll get saved. So we know that. Let's look at, before I go any further, on this next one, our unbelief. Let's look at Matthew 4:19. And he that saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's one of the big key factors here. Followed the Lord. He wants us to follow him. And I looked in a magazine, I was telling Brother Glenn this earlier, and it was called the Outdoor Magazine, I believe it was, and maybe they blew it up, but I don't think so. It looked gigantic. It was a big old muskie about that long. And so I called Dennis Furman up there in Wisconsin. He's up there in a Bible camp building cabins. And he said, I told him about the fish I saw in the Outdoors magazine. Matter of fact, Shelley gave me the Outdoors magazine, so I'll give her credit on this. But he said, yes. He said, Mike, come on up. He said, we've got plenty of room at these cabins. And matter of fact, the guides out there say they guarantee those muskies to be at least 50 inches long. Well, I don't know if he said 50, but he said a big one anyway. So you know what? You know, that should not be my greatest aspiration, but it would be one of my desires to go up and catch one of those big fish. But you know what? One thing greater than that is to go out and see some soul. If you led people to the Lord and it just bubbles up inside of you, thinking, I can take that soul to heaven where I can't take my money, can't right. take my investments, can't right. take my houses, right. can't take anything but souls to be with me. Amen. And you know what? Some people don't like to hear it. I'm not going to say who this is because you might fill in the blanks. But here last night, we had a little gathering, and we were talking about politics. And, you know, it just gets under my hide when people don't see what our president is doing. They really don't see it. Right. And it just gets the best of me. But this individual said, previous to our getting together, that, oh, he's a nasty man. He doesn't watch his mouth. And I said, well, how many presidents did you know that had a good, clean record? I know I haven't when I was a young guy before I come to know the Lord. But I'm grateful that I come to know the Lord and got out of that filthy language that I had. And I just told this individual that, matter of fact, this brother from Omaha come over and he is one talker. He won't let you slip in two words in edgewise. But he straightened it all out. And I'm grateful that he got it all laid out, some of the aspects that our president is doing now. And what I'm saying is, we need to know that we can become an influence, no matter who is listening and who's out there before us. When we go speaking to somebody, just like that guy named Justin, this brother said, well, you never know, Mike, even though he did not make the concerted effort to go out and eat breakfast with you, you don't know about those other four guys in the pickup,
right.
how they're going to respond to what you had to say. And he's right.
Amen.
Some sow, some water, but God giveth the increase.
Amen.
So we know that we have to be in belief, not unbelief. And so we want to be successful. We cannot lay idle and expect to take place. Say, well, they'll come in. That's a Calvinistic viewpoint. I've had people tell me when I was thinking about going to South America as a missionary. He said, how can you not be a Calvinist and go to South America and preach the gospel down there? And I told him, well, I don't know exactly what I did tell him, but how does that stack up? That doesn't cut it, does it? If the Lord wanted me to go, he would have put it in my late wife's heart to go that way, and I'd have everything in line. So Calvinistic viewpoints say, if they're going to be saved, they're going to come through that front door, and they're going to get saved no matter what you do or what you say. Well, there's got to be human elements. Of course, I believe in the sovereignty of God, that God will take all of this and work it out for His glory, that we might be able to see souls being saved. But is it our doings to win them to the Lord? We're just ambassadors.
Right.
The Lord wins them, doesn't
yes,
He? We don't do it. And so, let's turn to Romans, the first chapter, verse 16. Romans 1:15. I'm having a hard time here. Since my operation, I've lost a lot of stability in my hands. 16 it is. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Yeah.
And you know, that would be said also for the Muslims and for the they're Gentiles too in a regard, but they're half Jew too when it comes right down to it. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And I used to think that it was all my doings if I didn't see somebody move. You ever feel that way when you're a newborn Christian? I have, and it made me so mad that they wouldn't listen to what I had to say. But you know, if they don't, either I'm a testimony to them or against them. And if they don't listen, the blood will be upon their hands, it says in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. We know that they have to give an account of the way that they listen to what we have to say. So when we obey the Holy Spirit, we can become fishers of men and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's reiterated over and over in my mind. From the very day that Ralph Merritt led me to the Lord, set it up an example. And you know, as they say, you can't win anybody to arguing, can you? But your example can be the best argument you can have. And we know that the Lord will couple that and use it to his glory. My third thought is here, untaught. And like I said, part of this will apply to you and part of it will not. But God's bidding is his enabling,
right,
as they say, an old cliche, of course. And when you go out as an enabler to see people get saved, he does the bidding. The Holy Spirit does the coaxing and the encouraging, doesn't he?
Right.
So a lot of Christians are unaware of their responsibility. They say, oh, it's the deacon's responsibility or the pastor or whoever it might be that are in the know. Well, I heard about a story, and which is true, about a guy that got saved. He was a half-wit, a retard, in other words, a retarded guy. And he was the guy that brought in the most people, even a lawyer, as I recall. Why? The Lord was looking at his heart, and he had compassion on people that were out there in his midst, wherever it was at. And we know that that's the first thing that God looks at, is our heart. And he wants us to have compassion. By compassion, we pull him out of the pits of hell, don't we?
Right.
And therefore, when we have compassion, we know that the Lord wants us to be able to get out there and put our feet to action, so to speak. So yes, most of us have been instructed. I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, but it bears repeating. It's like saying to somebody, you're going to die and go to hell. Do you really believe in hell? Do you really believe that this place of weeping, gnashing of teeth, loneliness, falling forever and into a lake of fire? That ought to curdle anybody's blood, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to be on top of our witnessing to others. So, it is never the convenient time. You say to yourself, it's not convenient for me to go. My children are sick. There's too much ice out there. I almost got an equation here today. I'm discouraged about it. You know, all kinds of things. I'm sick. I remember going out when I had a fever of 102. And it puts me to shame today. I want to be able to be more of a soul winner and try to speak to as many people as I can. I'm praising the Lord for our church, our pastor, for ordering these chick publication tracts because it's one of my favorite. Isn't it yours?
Yeah.
It is mine.
Amen.
I love them. It gets people's attention. Whatever it gets to take, get people's attention, let's go for it. So, we are not to the point of becoming so busy that we cannot find the time to go. You say, I've heard this over and over and over again. Well, we give it our tithe. How about a tenth of our time to go out and speak to people? You know, that's one thing that has been reiterated in my mind in the past. Get out there and spend at least a tenth of your time. Is that possible? Sure it is. Being lazy. Yes, that includes me. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We really are. And so, we want to be able to say, I want to be used of God. Billy Sunday said this, and if I might read this quote, the greatest soul winner that he was attributed to a million souls, they say. I don't know for sure how they could come up with all that, but he said here, let's see, I am in favor of anything the devil is against and against anything the devil is for. And if I know which side the devil is on, put me on the other side.
Amen.
That's exactly what he said. And you know what? You think he was spotless? You know, he had to go around the block, even after he was saved, to get away from bars. That alcohol was so much of a temptation. I know the pastor's never drunk anything as far as intoxicating beverages. He said that anyway. I know I have. Brother Dave has. Brother Gwen has. I don't know about Brother Carl. But I do know it's a vice. And you say, that's not my weak point. No, but you've got one, and the devil knows it, doesn't
right.
he?
Yeah.
And he'll do everything to trip you up and mess you up. Let's look at James, the fourth chapter, at verse 17. I think this is one I had down here. Therefore, him to know it to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Boy, that'll resound through and through our hearts, won't it? Mm-hmm. If we know that we're supposed to speak to someone. And I can't help but remember this guy. His name was Bob Valentine. His son just died here the other day, and we used to go out deer hunting. Illegally sometimes, but we went out deer hunting. And I got back from Bible college, and this guy that I went to school with, his dad had cancer, and he was about to die. And the Lord put it on my heart to talk to him. I did not do it. And when I got out of Bible college, he died. I felt about that small, because the Lord, I know emphatically, put that on my heart to visit that man, and I didn't do it. And anyway, that's a time that the Lord says, act on your faith. And I can't help but think that these messages coincide with each other. That's the way the Lord does it sometimes. But we know that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And if we know that there are souls that are going to die and are going to spend eternity in hell, especially those that are in our own bloodline, and we don't pray for them, it is a sin, isn't it?
Yes.
So we know it's important to keep these verses in mind. So we are here to fulfill the Lord's command and commission to witness, as it says in many places. But let's look at a few here. If we don't go out and we resist the obedience that we need to have, it is a sin. Let's look at John 20 at 21. We'll let the Bible do the talking. How's that? 20 at verse 21. St. John, of course. Let's see. That doesn't look quite right, but maybe it is. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Yes, it is. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's power. That's what we need today, is the power to be able to have compassion. We can't pass people at the gas station. We can't pass people up that are at the Menards cashier places. I've heard somebody talk about me as I had given out tracts all over that store. And they didn't know I was there, and they didn't know I was listening. But they were finding fault. Well, that's a good reputation to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure is, because the devil doesn't want me to hand out tracts. He doesn't want you to hand out tracts.
Right.
And we know it's important to be able to give the Word of God out. And so Acts 1:8 says, but But ye have received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Well, we can't go to the other parts of the world, but we can support these missionaries, can't we? But we can right here in our little nucleus. And you say, I don't like this message. It puts me into a style that cramps it. And some people say, well, I can't go to other towns to witness to people because this is my Judea right here. I'm going to witness to people here. Well, do we? Do we see any results? Well, that's up to the Lord to see the results, no doubt. But we need to be obedient and give the Word of God out to those that are out about us. So God will keep. Let me quote another one here by William McKinley. God will keep no nation in supreme peace that will not do its supreme duty. And what is our duty? The reason this nation is going downhill is because people are afraid to speak out. In politics, no matter where it is, but it all boils down to the Christian. God judges the Christians in the churches, or they're not in the church, one of the two. And not for the unsaved, but He judges the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. So, also, in this regard, the disobedience is the point I'm bringing across. We can't have sin of any kind rooted in our hearts. And boy, that's a factor. You get into a squabble with your kids, or your kids get in a squabble with one another, or you get in a squabble with your mate, and next thing you know, the Spirit of God quenches and you feel it. You know that you're not going anywhere, and you know it doesn't do you much good to speak to others because you're not going to do any good. And we've got to have all complaining, bitterness and wrath and anger put away from us, as it talks about in Ephesians 4:30. And so we know that when my next point is, soul winning is contagious. And that is for sure. If somebody brings somebody into this church and keeps bringing them in, you find yourself feeling ashamed. At least I do. I don't know about anybody else.
Right.
I feel like I need to get out there and talk to people. And I enjoy talking to people.
Right.
But you know what? Laziness sets in.
Right.
We're all guilty of it.
Right.
The flesh is weak and the spirit is willing, right? Let's look at another scripture here. Well, we don't have to look there. Psalms 126:5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in what?
Joy.
Joy, right. We weep. That is the whole issue. Compassion. We pull them out of the pits of hell. And if we don't have compassion, it ain't going to do us any good. But we say to ourselves, I cannot live up to it. You know, we all fail, and we fail miserably, don't we? We really do. But God's still going to use this. I'm grateful that He's using me. But yet I'd like to have been used in more of a great, mighty, wonderful way. If God is willing to use this unworthy vessel.
Amen. Try.
So he that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
Wise. I got a next door neighbor, and I can't help but say this. He's a nice guy, but that's about the size of it. He used to be a Budweiser seller. He sold Budweisers. And I make that a joke around our house. He's a Bud Dumber. Because he does not get saved. I've witnessed to him. He isn't getting saved. He's older than I am. So most likely the chances are getting saved are pretty remote. But have you ever had in your heart to ask somebody over for a meal or take them over a meal? Dr. Raymond Barber used to say this. One of my professors down there said, if you find indifferentness towards somebody or they find indifferentness towards you, make up a bunch of cookies or a pie, whatever it might be, and take it over to them, and you'd be surprised what it'll do. And that's true. I got a neighbor across the street, and I thought to myself, I need to witness to that woman. But I thought, well, someday. Well, she was out raking the yard, and so I talked to her. I said, well, that's a never-ending job, isn't it? And just a comment like that, just befriending the woman, the next time I saw her, she waved from her driveway across the street. I thought to myself, she needs the gospel. She's about as broad as she is tall, but I don't hold that against her for sure. But she's a sweet woman, it seems like, and we need to be able to break her some cookies or whatever it might be. Take it over there and talk to her. And then neighbors across the way, they need to be talked to. The Lord says that you must go to your neighbors. Well, who is your neighbor? Whoever comes across your path is your neighbor. So, how is our enthusiasm? Just like an old preacher used to say, it's not that 16th of a stinger that's on the bumblebee that hurts. It's the enthusiasm. I thought that was a good saying. And you know what? We can have that enthusiasm to get out there and set an example. It'll solve a lot of arguments, won't it? In other words, our expression of enthusiasm to the people out and about, we can reach people because they know we care. And they do not care how much you know until they see how much you care, as the old saying has it. So soul winning is a contagious thing. So Christians, we can have the best joy by not taking a roller coaster ride, James, or going out sledding on the hill that Elizabeth just talked about earlier. But we can have the greatest joy by speaking to people about their need for the Lord and be able to see the light of Christ shine in their face, right? And if we see that, it'll give us enthusiasm, it'll pass down to other people, and they can be the same. And that's what it's all about, is passing that down to other people. So I want to close here just with this last point here. Let's go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, at verse 3. So a soul winner has the joy of the Lord and of God's favor, that is. We can wear out all kinds of clothes. We can have new clothes every week. We can have money in the bank. A night of pleasure out in the morning or out in the evening time, but does it last in the morning? Not usually. But when you win people to Christ, you can have that joy that will be instilled in your heart. Daniel, the 12th chapter at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn away, or turn many, that is, excuse me, to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that a good verse? Mm-hmm. That we can shine brightly and we can turn people to righteousness and we'll shine. Have you ever thought about what kind of eternal rewards you'll have by being faithful? Well, I don't so much want to focus on that, even though it's not something that we should ignore, of course. But the whole issue is appearing before the Lord, and He will say, what did you do with the time I gave you to witness to somebody? What did you do about taking this track to this individual that you know that you should have and you didn't? Or that you gave to this individual and they got saved? I can't help but say this. Stepfather, which married to my mother for 20 years. I married those two over in Central City Baptist Church. He was my pastor over there for a short time. And I might have said this, I'm sure I have. But his name is Henry Jodiman. Some of you, I think Brother Dave and maybe even Shelley, I'm not sure, met him. And he was out in on a trip somewhere, I believe it was. And he did like what I did. As I was traveling, I picked up hitchhikers. And my mom says, you should never do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Well, I don't know what's any worse, going up on the Indian reservation, working with the Indians that just as soon scalp you as they look at you. Not really. But they didn't like us up there. Got a few boots in the rear end because of it. But you know what? He picked up the hitchhiker, and he began to witness to the guy. And I've said this. I know I have, but it bears repeating. And He pulled off, led the man to the Lord. He looked before that, and he could look in his overcoat and saw a pistol in the right side of his coat. And the guy, when he got through praying, he said, you know what? I was going to take this gun and knock you in the head and kill you if I had to and steal your car. And my stepfather said, well, let me show you something. He reached over and grabbed a big, long screwdriver about like that. He said, you know what? Before you got saved, I was going to wrap you in the head with a screwdriver. But you know what? He picked him up. He didn't know what kind of a dangerous criminal he was. Excuse me a minute, I'll get this thing shut off. He did not consider the consequences. And when we pick up people or when we speak to them at the gas station, wherever it might be, I've been ostracized, I've been looked at, I've been scoffed at, ridiculed for speaking to people. And going down the way, I led somebody to the Lord. Has that ever happened to you? The devil says, I want to get this knucklehead out of the service of God. And you know, he'll do everything he can to try to get you discouraged. But let me reiterate this. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's forever and ever. If you lead somebody to the Lord and give him the righteousness that they do not deserve or you didn't deserve, we know that this is going to shine forever and ever. And I'll polish this up. So we can have all kinds of dreams. We can have all kinds of benefits and whatever it might be. You know, I don't work anymore, but God brings it in. I get a dinky dad from Social Security, but God brings it in. And you know what? It's always been a temptation for my wife to go back into teaching. But which is the most important thing? Raising our kids upright under the auspices of the gospel and teaching them in a Christian school, or for her to get a job and make more money so we can prosper? There is no comparison, is there? And we know the Lord will bless our faith residing in Him. So to win souls is the greatest glory to Jesus and the greatest gain in heaven and the greatest growth to the winner and the highest joy on earth. And that's most important. The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? And we can tackle anything. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We want to speak to people with the surety that this is the biggest joy that we can ever have. So we cannot take possessions with us. Money, pomp, fame, or any of the thrills of this life, but we can take souls to heaven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to know you and the power of your might. And it's not my might, nor any of the people here today, Lord, that we can do anything to lead a person that is in bondage in the vices of the devil, but we know the power of the gospel can reach down to the uttermost, to those that are in the guttermost, as they say. And we know that you've pulled us out, at least me anyway, coming out of the degradation of sin in the past. And I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Help us to be able to take compassion, take sympathy, take the unsaved and present them with the Word of God, no matter where it's at, that we must be obedient to the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts to deliver those out of bondage of sin. So give us a good week. Help us to take tracks out. Help us to be bold as lions. And as the old saying has it, we can be bold as or wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We got to be careful what we say, but we don't want to be too careful that we don't speak your truth. So give us this upcoming week that we might be able to be determined to hand out tracts. And it's easy to get into a mold and forget and not do it. It's easy to get into a mold and not have the tenacity and the willpower and the effectiveness of the gospel to be able to deliver it to those that are without. So help us to have a compassion. Help us to have a burden. Help us to realize, Lord, that this is the greatest joy anyone can have, and that's to lead others to you. And we ask that you bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.